I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
It's really spooky.
The man's on fucking back for so bitch!
I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
Every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast Super Raw.
Bon appetit! As Don, Tony, and Mish dish out their opinions about the world of pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Super Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing tonight? November 8th, 2021. Breakfast Soup Raw. Thank you very much for tuning in. I am Don Tony. He is.
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT? How you been?
I'm a little annoyed. I don't know if you could see it. I burned my hand really, really bad on a oven tonight. You kind of could see it a little bit. I don't know. I can't position it all that well. But it like blistered up almost immediately, and it's all like, ugh, hurts. But hey, I want to make a quick comment, a little advice for Tony Khan, seriously. And if you all out there agree, disagree, post your comments later on. I think Tony Khan really needs to take note of the Seth Rollins Kevin Owens match tonight on Raw. Not the conclusion with the count out and everything else. I'm talking about the work ethic of these two guys. They put on a great performance. But if you take note of social media tonight, majority of everybody out there is already blasting Monday Night Raw. That the show sucked, it bombed, all the crap, blah, 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 da, 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 da. The point is that you can have great stars on your show. And I'm not saying Tony Khan is guilty of this now, but you could have great stars on your show. If you don't have good storylines, if you don't have good episodic television, which we've been saying for over a year and a half now, if you don't have the overall to really draw people in, it doesn't matter how great the matches are. It doesn't matter how good the stars are. At the end of the day, the show's still going to get bashed. That's why when Tony Khan a couple of weeks ago said, did anybody see Monday night? It was terrible. It sucked. Well, what exactly sucked? I mean, some of the matches were pretty good that week. So what exactly sucks? I think people understand where I'm going with this. If you don't fix your overall problem, it doesn't matter how good a match is here and there, it's still going to get bashed. And again, Tony Khan is not guilty of this now, but that was WCW's downfall more than anything else. You go back to WCW's roster in 2000. Forget 2001. You know, we're talking 2000. You look at that roster. People would beg to have a roster like that today. Even though you had your Hogans and even though you had a lot of politics behind the scenes, trust me, people would cream for that roster, and it still nosedived. And don't give me, well, because WWF was unbelievably awesome. You know, you had record viewers watching wrestling, 10, 15 million viewers, whatever it was, and still WCW lost tens of millions of dollars. So, Mish, I don't know if you agree with me, but that's the takeaway I get from tonight's Raw, other than Liv Morgan winning.
I mean, Raw was a very fly-by-night, lackluster show. I can agree with a lot of people's sentiment on that. There was very few highlights of the evening, and Tony Khan's sentiments against Raw are humorous at best at this point. We see the guy constantly falling on his face. He's misquoting things. He's making up information as he goes along. Tony Khan's rhetoric is nothing to be even paid attention to at this point. And that's sad to say about the CEO, a billion-dollar CEO of the opposing wrestling company. But WWE did not have a great showing tonight. I understand that a lot of it is build up to obviously Survivor Series, but I don't know if a few things felt flat. Let me ask you first off, I mean, if we're going to talk about the beginning of Raw, Seth got great heat tonight in the very first 2 minutes of Raw or 5 minutes of Raw. And he comes out there wearing that red and blue coat. And the fans immediately shit all over him, saying, "You look stupid." They started chanting against it. So what does Seth do as a heel? He changes his outfit, and they don't mention anything about it for the rest of the night.
You're right.
I mean, doesn't Seth want the heat? Like, isn't that his job? You found something that people were making fun of you for.
Well,
And he even interacted with the audience. He even interacted. He's like, "What do you people know about fashion?"
Well, that was the joke about it.
I genuinely laughed at that because I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. Seth out here looking like some kind of redundant flag.
I thought he looked like a crayon.
Yeah.
Like one of those two-tone crayons.
It's so stupid. It's like, Seth, why the fuck would you change? I'd wear that like 3 weeks in a row.
Well, you know, maybe it was freaking hot, too. Maybe that shit was hot. I mean, that thing looked like...
that white and black one, that furry thing that he changed into.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah, okay. Derek Rose, thank you for the cup of coffee. If you're going to turn around and try to throw this in our face about... Karrion Kross, let it play out. WWE signed B-Fab to a main roster contract a week before. Okay, WWE changing their mind and deciding to release people. Nia Jax was given her schedule to wrestle on the November 16th WWE tour. And Nia asked for a little bit of additional time off for mental health reasons. And she got fired. Things change. All right, so nice try with the little, oh, DT, you got stuff wrong. All right, WWE changes their minds all the time. And it's so, anyway, by the way, Derek, I'll be more than happy to keep throwing the cash out there. Were we wrong on Cross? WWE was wrong on Cross. You obviously didn't tune in to Saturday's show, because I got into this in great detail. WWE made a huge mistake about Karrion Kross. They made a huge mistake about others. Keith Lee upsets me, and I'm not going to repeat everything that I said on Saturday. But again, and I guess, Mish, we could get back to Raw in a minute. Let's talk about Keith Lee, since we're on the topic. Keith Lee issued a statement today. And I want to read that statement, and I'd love for your thoughts on it, and something that I said on Saturday, and it's not breaking. Oh, I want to do this first, because it would be very disrespectful if I didn't do this first. Tammy Sitch was released from the hospital, I believe, yesterday. She's doing a lot better. You know, it's interesting, all the websites that never bothered to cover that she was in the hospital in ICU, which is pretty fucking serious. But I will tell everybody this. I don't want to get into details, and I'm not going to give information to those news sites. If they want to, you know, ask her directly, she could tell them. But I talked to a few other people since last week, and believe it or not, Tammy Sitch herself may have been the victim of an assault. Of, you know, it usually seems the opposite with her, that she gets into, you know, altercations with others. This time around, she might have been the victim of assault. I'm not saying that that's what put her in the hospital. I don't want anybody to read between the lines, but you know, she's out of the hospital, and that's all I want to say about that. Keith Lee, Mish, on Saturday, I talked about Keith Lee's release, a little more detail. Actually, it might have even been Thursday's show. I think it was Thursday's show. And I said, you know, I wonder if the release is concerns about health. And I understand it sounds messed up when you say it like that. But Keith Lee, his ailment was so serious, he didn't even know, he didn't even think that he could be celebrating his birthday. It was almost life or death situation. You got a big man that size, WWE paranoid about someone, God forbid, dying in the ring. And I wonder if health is part of the reason behind his release. I'm not reporting news. We're not reporting news right now. We're just trying to make sense of this. But I want to read Keith Lee's statement now, and then I'd love for Mish to comment on this. And as you read his statement, think about what I just said. Because I don't see the word wrestle in any of his statement. He says, and I quote, "Thank you for all the positivity that has been dropped on me the past few days, as well as the birthday wishes. I love you. Worry not. We are not done. We work. Hashtag bask in my glory. I am limitless." That was what he posted on Twitter. Now, his statement. Yeah, very quick. "Greetings and salutations. This day is my birthday. It's not a happy birthday, but it is one I am most grateful for. Several months ago, it was not a guarantee I would make it to this day, so there is positivity in that. I paid all my medical bills from many offices and machines I frequented. There is positivity in that. And I do find it amusing that people believe anybody but me paid for my medical expenses. I was going to wait a few weeks, but I think it's time to look forward to the future. Forward march, as I like to say. I am capable of so much more, and I can't wait to see what it looks like properly. I have a wide array of interests and abilities. I also consider myself to be rather open-minded. Here's to a future that, for all intents and purposes, seems limitless." What do you say to that statement?
The rumor mill was hitting hard when a lot of these releases were made. It wasn't just Keith Lee released, but the fact that it was also Keith and Mia together released was the speculative point that a lot of people had brought up. The worries that came in from this wasn't necessarily the health of Keith Lee, from what I was reading. It was more along the lines of, was there a grand statement from some of these wrestlers that refused to get COVID treatment, refused to get the vaccine? I don't know. I haven't seen anywhere in WWE or anybody related to WWE saying that that is the case. But I could clearly understand why that would be something that could end up being a fireable thing. You're talking about wrestlers and entertainers that interact not only with other wrestlers, but also interact with thousands upon thousands of fans. As far as the statement that Keith Lee made, it seems like there was more to the story about how temperamental, how unknown his medical status was. And it's one of those weird things, and I think me and you even addressed it before. In one sense, it's really not up to us to know. It's really up to Keith Lee. It's up to Mia. It's really up to them, and definitely not the company, which is one of the reasons that we frowned on Tony Khan opening up with the Moxley stuff. But it's definitely not up to the company. It's up to Keith Lee. Oh, I totally, yeah.
Oh, I'm fine with that, because Moxley told Tony Khan, tell everybody.
No way, dude. If I told you I was dying, and even if I told you that you could tell people that I was dying.
They kept Brody Lee quiet. They kept the situation with Brody Lee quiet.
Okay, they kept Brody Lee quiet, but now they didn't do that for John Moxley. Dude, I think it's wrong. I'm sorry. I think it's wrong for a company to come out and talk about your medical business as a person. Whether they paid for his insurance, whether they're not paying for it, I don't know what that part of the statement that Keith Lee made was. But as far as being the company saying, it was weird. It was weird if WWE came out talking about Roman's cancer. That's why they had Roman come out and say it as John.
I know, but Moxley's not that guy that's going to go, what is he going to do? Like, tweet, yeah, I got a fucking drinking problem. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but you know what? He has a wife.
Everybody's different.
I totally disagree. I think
there's no
company that should ever have the place to talk about your medical business.
I hear you.
I think there's even laws against that.
I hear you.
You know?
You know, Nia Jax pointed out that vaccination was never brought up to her.
Right. No, I know. And that's why I said that when it came to the speculation about the vaccines and stuff like that, it really is speculation because, like I said, there's no way that anything was revealed by WWE. And as far as I understood, Mia and Keith Lee have never really spoken about their stance on vaccinations. So when you listen to his statement, it sounds like it might have been something more medical based, which might not have anything to do with COVID at all. And that's what kind of worries me in another way, too, because, look, I know WWE or people view WWE and Vince McMahon as this evil corporation and an evil person. Look, it wasn't that long ago that Vince McMahon let Daniel Bryan go, and Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, wrote this long fucking love letter to Vince saying this guy took care of me, and I know we disagree about the future of my career, but he didn't let me go because he didn't think I was talented. He let me go because he didn't want me to hurt myself, but I'm capable of making my own future. That's the gist of what that letter said. And if this is another case of Vince almost being a father figure or parental in any way, whether you want to believe it or not, but if this is another one of those cases, then maybe Keith Lee suffers from something that none of us know about and might be detrimental not only to himself, but maybe even to other people that are in the ring with him.
That's why I said on Thursday, my first reaction was, I wonder if there's a concern still from WWE about Keith Lee's health. Because look, and again, you are absolutely 1,000% correct. Keith Lee owes us no explanation, period. All those months when everybody was reporting it wrong and we were saying on here there's something health-wise wrong with Keith Lee, but we don't know what it is, so we're not going to speculate. If Keith Lee wants to tell everybody, he will. We said that 1,000 times here. But the thing I said Thursday is let's go a couple of steps back with Daniel Bryan. And I'm talking about Daniel Bryan, WWE.
Right.
Daniel Bryan, when he was retired, he went to doctors, and they were giving him clearance. And even with that, WWE said, no, yet more tests. Then it finally got to a point where there was so much proof beyond a shadow of a doubt that Daniel Bryan was fine. WWE made the decision, okay, you can return back to the ring. I just hoped Keith Lee is okay. Because the guy is so beloved, and, you know, this is not...
It's not goodbye. Yeah. That's the other thing that I really have a problem with. It's not necessarily the fact that these people got fired. And I thought this was funny, too, was people were upset that they got released now. And my first reaction was, well, when did you want them to release him? December 24th? You know, like, what does it
there
matter
is no the good time. Timing?
Yeah. Right, exactly. That's kind of my point. And the second thing is, this isn't goodbye. A lot of these people, some of them will probably not be back. But I expect a lot of these people will still be on Vince's, what did he use back in the 90s? It was Rolodex. So they're still in Vince's Rolodex. And I don't doubt that if Keith Lee continues or Mia continues to wrestle on the independents or goes to Japan or even AEW, and they continue to impress him, when their contract comes up, WWE maybe might be like, hey, you want to come back? I don't know why it's like once you leave WWE, that's it forever. You're out of the family. It's true. Like the mob or something.
True.
You know?
It's true. Well, we wish everybody the best. Now, I just want your take because I got into this in a lot of detail on Saturday. Because Thursday, we didn't know Nia Jax's, you know, side of it. And Thursday, a few people were super chatting saying, oh, what do you think about the fact that she got released because she's not vaccinated? And I said, you know, I haven't seen any memo. I haven't heard about any memo. There was nothing mentioned in an email. There was no phone call, text message, anything
right.
towards vaccination, towards anybody. I said, so I'd like to hear from Nia Jax. And Nia Jax came out and said that vaccination was never brought up. So I ask you this. When Daphne took her life in the beginning of September, September 1st, WWE gave a memo to all the wrestlers letting them know that mental health, you know, counseling and treatment and, you know, mental health is priority number one. And some wrestlers were granted some time off to for mental health reasons. Nia Jax had taken some time off recently, specifically because of mental health.
Right.
You know, I don't want to go any further than that, but she was given her schedule for, I guess, November 14th, and she contacted WWE and said, look, you know, I'm not just ready yet. Remember, we heard that about Bray Wyatt a while ago. Remember that? Not ready yet. Right. You know, look, I need a little more time. And they never responded back to Nia. They gave her a schedule, and she says, look, can I have, I think I need a little bit more time for a mental break. They never responded back. Instead, they released her. Do you think WWE may actually rehire her?
I think she was on the list anyways. I don't mean to be cruel or whatever, but Nia really wasn't a very positive force with the fans, and there were rumblings that she may have been not the nicest person to deal with backstage as well. So the fact that Nia got released, while it's a controversial decision to do it while she's on a health break, on a mental health break, I think that even if she wasn't on a mental health break, she would have still been on that list. I think there's only so much that you could do with Nia, and I think that they've explored every opportunity for what they have and for the current roster that they have. And, I mean, even what she was doing with Shayna was subpar at best. And what she did for, you know, what she did for Shayna was great. You know, I think she elevated her. They didn't really do much with Shayna since then, but I thought that moment was fantastic. She did a great job of selling that. But I think overall, I don't know. I don't see much of Nia going to other companies. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's impossible. And it sure isn't impossible that WWE would bring her back. But as far as on the list of the women that were released, she's probably at the bottom of my own.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to make it clear. I wasn't trying to be hard on Derek before. I know he's not a troll. But I had a lot of trolls sending me DMs. Oh, let it play out. Oh, you know, I'm not going to rip the Bearcat thing because it might be a tribute to Bearcat, right?
Dude, let me take a little bit of the weight off of you for that.
No, you don't have to because I told him all the same thing. Right. I never reported his news. I gave an opinion.
No, I don't even mean that. But, I mean, I think – so here's where I'll take the weight off. It's what we wanted to happen. It's not necessarily a news thing where we're reporting this is directly coming from Cross or WWE. I think a lot of it was what was alluded to online through social media by different people. And it was also the hope that WWE put him on, took him off, put him on, took him off, put him on. And we were hoping that, well, there's Scarlett around the corner. There was a lot of loose ends that, as far as Karrion Kross went, that WWE could have tied up and made into the character that we all wanted to see. But for whatever reason, they didn't see the same aspect. They didn't see the same creativity behind Scarlett and Kross that a majority of fans did. Just because fans can see something doesn't necessarily equate to WWE seeing the same thing that we do. How many times have you as a fan, even you, DT, how many times have you as a fan wanted something to happen in storyline and WWE completely went in the opposite direction, like just the complete opposite? So yeah. I think this is one of those scenarios. I don't think Cross and Scarlett are done. I think they have more than enough time to rebuild their future, go to different companies, rebuild their characters. And once again, it's not goodbye forever. I can absolutely see a time where Cross and Scarlett may return back to WWE.
Yeah. Much love, Derek. Much love. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, much love, dude.
Very generous, Derek. You don't have to be generous, that generous to make some valid points, you know. I will tell everybody this. From Ember Moon to Karrion Kross to Scarlet to a few others, they were told creative plans of what was going to be going down, BFAB and others. And then they just decided, look, you know, they're micromanaging the roster, as we said before. Most of these people are not involved in any storylines at all, or very, very minimal at best. You know, that's why if you look, I mean, the show really didn't change much tonight. You really didn't. I mean, it really didn't change much because the majority of people who were let go were not involved in anything really pertinent on television, if you really think about it that way. You know, then speaking of Kross, now we had some fun on Saturday about this. I don't know if you heard about this, but that, what was it? What was the name of that website? It wasn't Shitskeeda. Culture. What's the wrestling website that I can't remember, but someone in the chat room will remember. But, you know, Kevin Matthews had announced that he was going to be handling Scarlett's bookings because, you know, he's friends with him and he tried to get him. What culture? No, it wasn't What Culture. Thank you, One Fool. Cultaholic. Yeah, so all he was doing was showing a banner from 2019 that they were supposed to be on a show and they couldn't because of, you know, scheduling issues. So anyway, long story short, that website ran with the banner and said, oh, they're returning December 7th for WrestlePro Alaska. And, you know, we were all having, you know, a laugh, which was pretty sad because, you know, I want to see how they're going to have Road Warrior Animal on this show. Or, you know, Tyson Kidd is even able to wrestle. So,
right.
And they left it up for about 15 hours until they got embarrassed beyond belief. But I can now let everybody know that this is the official first announcement as far as Karrion Kross and Scarlett with a return. They're going to be February, what is that? February 3rd?
Six.
Oh, okay. That's I know what that is. That's the Aliba Fest or whatever. I never heard of it, but it's February 6, 2022.
Celeb Fest.
What is it?
It's a C. It's C E L E B. Celeb Fest.
Oh, Celeb Fest. I could. The band is so small. I could hardly read it. It looked like Oleb Fest. Celeb Fest. So this is look. This doesn't mean that they're not returning sooner, but probably this will be their first appearance because they got 90-day no compete. So you get released right around November 3rd, November 4th. This is right around the 90-day no compete. So this is where they're going to make their return. You know, hopefully they come to the New York area again. So
They will.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they will.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, and I want to clear something up too, everybody. You know, they're making a big deal that BFAB was signed a contract only a week ago and then got released a week later. When you graduate from NXT to the main roster, your contract is converted, period. So that's what happened with her. They brought her to the main roster, so her contract was converted. Anybody that graduates from NXT and goes to the main roster gets a new deal. So it really wasn't any different, but it still is very surprising that they let her go that fast. I the only thing I can think of is they don't have an Electra Lopez on SmackDown, and no, it seems doesn't seem like they're putting Naomi in the bloodline.
Yeah.
So who does she go up against? You know,
I'm not really sure. I mean, they'll probably figure it out. I definitely don't expect them to stay with the pieces. I even think that while this is kind of, it's a little silly for me to say because I've been repeating it all the way up until SummerSlam when I thought that WWE really understood the parts that their players are playing, but it feels like they're still trying to rebuild the division. I mean, we're all the way in Survivor Series, and I don't know about everybody else, but with all the releases, with all the changes with NXT, with all the changes with the main roster, and even the draft, it feels like this entire year is WWE trying to rebuild the division, the overall Raw and SmackDown and NXT. I don't feel like we have permanent players on either one of these brands. I'm not sure. So the fact that B-Fab is gone so quickly, believe me, I didn't mind. She wasn't my favorite. I really felt that she was an albatross in that group with Hit Row. I'm kind of glad that, you know, there's new opportunities. Maybe somebody else from NXT gets brought up that we don't even think about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We'll get back to Raw in a moment. Before that, we just wanted to wish congratulations to Mackenzie Mitchell and Vic Joseph. For those that are not aware, they have announced their engagement. So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't think I'm really revealing anything, you know, major personal. But, you know, for those that don't know, Vic Joseph's brother has been a longtime supporter of our shows and longtime patron. I don't know if he's still on there. I think he is. But I have no idea what Vic Joseph thinks of the show.
You know what? The only thing I got to say to Vic Joseph is nice pull, brother.
Yes. Yes.
Nice pull.
Yeah. So that's very cool. Very cool to him. Now, unfortunately, I did not prepare a photo for this gentleman for tonight's show, but I would love for everybody out there, if you don't mind, if you are a fan of Jason Solomonster, go to his Twitter, yes. Go to his Facebook, wish him a happy anniversary. This weekend, I believe, is 14 years that he's doing his show. You know, he's not the Podfather because, you know, yours truly has been doing it since 97, but he's an OG and he's a good guy. And, you know, I love when people insist that, you know, we have a bitter feud and this and that. I'm going to stream the Lucky 13 footage on one of the Thursday shows soon. I'm going to make a nice little type montage of it, but he showed up and very nice guy. Very nice guy. So for any of you out there that would like to, wish him a happy 14.
And he's as nice in person as you would expect him to be on screen. So yeah. For people that have never met Jason, you know, he's a very soft-spoken guy. He's very funny. You know, at the same time, he's everything that you would expect to be. Yeah. He's definitely a wrestling historian. And he's got good takes. He's an amusing guy. He seems like he has a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Here's the 14 absolutely. More, Jason. So,
14 years, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, getting back to Raw tonight, before we talk about Liv Morgan, before we talk about Seth and Kevin Owens a little bit further, we had a montage of 24/7 title changes. Yeah. And by the way, I will give everybody my quick thoughts about XPW Rebirth. I did order it yesterday. I did watch it. And I will tell everybody my views on it in a couple of moments. Just wait a moment. They'll know why I said that. So tonight for the 24/7 title, Drake Maverick took on Reggie. For some reason, nobody could get involved, whatever. Drake Maverick beats Reggie in the ring. So Drake Maverick is your 24/7 champion. Then we get a bunch of roll-ups. Good.
No, but it is very interesting because, I mean, I think me and you, and I know even me and Joe talked about this not that long ago, the title had no validity because none of the matches were ever taken place in a ring. They weren't considered standardized matches. So I thought it was very interesting tonight that they had a standard match for the 24/7 belt. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that WWE is trying to add some level of validity to this belt and not just make it a cosmetic thing, because that would be odd to begin with now.
I'll tell you why that's crazy. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying.
No.
It's they're ass backwards tonight, because usually a regular match happens in the ring, and then if you want to relax the rules, it's outside the ring. The 24/7 title is the idea of it is it could happen anywhere at any time. It could be in the building, outside the building, anywhere else. So why do you take rules away by putting it in the ring? It's like the reverse of what it should be. After
hardcore, the hardcore title did the exact same thing, because there was plenty of times when we watched back in the day with Crash Holly, he's defending it at the WWF restaurant, he's defending it at random bars, but at the same time, you would have an Al Snow and Hardcore Holly and Crash Holly hardcore match with Taz or whoever else in there, and that would actually take place in the ring. So even the hardcore title, which was considered the spiritual father of the 24/7 belt, still took place in the ring, still added the validity and the sanctity of the ring to the title matches. So when you say that taking away some of the rules of the 24/7 belt being able to be defended everywhere and putting it in the ring, that's why I said, is WWE trying to add some kind of validity to this belt? Well, now,
well,
after all this time?
This is why I don't think so. Because look at all the title changes that took place outside the ring after the match was over. I mean, it was right back to being a joke again. This is not a joke.
Right.
I want to give a shout out to Nero Fay, tuning in all the way from Israel. Big time change, that, you know, from here in New York. Going for a biopsy. I don't know what it specifically is. Do not tell us publicly. Keep me updated, my friend. Keep me updated. Much love, my friend. Much love. So, yeah, everybody in the chat room, send some well wishes Nero's way. So, Kevon Lewis, welcome, my friend. Welcome, channel member. Welcome to the family. Yeah, just for that. Hey, I'm a Viking Raider. Am I going to get released? Wait. Let it go. Hold on. There we go. Hey, the Viking Raider. Stupid. Just random stupidity. But speaking of random stupidity, so we have Drake Maverick beat Reggie. He's the 24/7 champion until Tozawa pinned Drake Maverick. Corey Graves pinned Tozawa. Byron Saxton pinned Corey Graves. Drake Maverick pinned Byron Saxton, and then Reggie pinned Drake Maverick, runs off with the freaking title again. I will tell you, out of everything with the 24/7 title, I laughed my ass off at Corey Graves getting the title. But then when Byron Saxton won, if you look at Corey Graves' reaction in the back, it's freaking priceless. And I looked at that, and I'm sorry to do this to everyone. I thought this photo is so apropos. And I had to put it in text so people didn't try to think of it in a different way. But, yeah, that is me. That is the deal. And that's the haters in the background. They're like, are you kidding me? So I don't know. I don't know how to react to it. I mean, they did this corny shit a long time ago, so they haven't done it in a while. I guess that's sort of a good thing, but I don't know. I mean, it was just, I don't know. What did you think about the whole overall 24/7?
The after exchange, the after exchange was exactly what I expected it to be. I was just, like I said, I was just amused that they had a sanctioned match for the 24/7 title. That's all. Whereas everything else has been chaos. And you're right. Once again, right after the match, they went back to chaos, and it's as if nothing actually happened. But I would love to see, and somebody has to be keeping a running tally of how many people have actually touched that damn belt.
So, oh, I have a list somewhere. I'm not going to pull it now, but yeah, I have a list somewhere. I'll check it.
But no, it was gaga. That's all it was. Yeah. It's nothing big.
Yeah. Crazy Cruiserweight, thank you very much. Main event, spoilers, Austin Theory over Akira Tozawa, and I could also add to that John Morrison beat Shelton Benjamin. Oh, no, Cedric Alexander. Is it Cedric Alexander? I have it on the synopsis. I think it was Cedric. No. I don't know. John Morrison won. I know that. So let's also talk about Raw tonight. Now, originally, we had over the weekend on Twitter, which I had no problem with. As I said on Saturday, there's not enough time left between now and Survivor Series to do qualifying matches. If people would have said it a month ago, where's the qualifying matches? Then I would have been in agreement with everyone. But because there's only 2 weeks left, not enough time to have a whole Raw and a whole SmackDown based on qualifying matches for 2 5-on-5s that people really don't give two shits about in the first place. So on Twitter, they announced over the weekend, and I like how they have Liv Morgan front and center. Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Queen Zelina, and Carmella taking on Natalya, Aaliyah. No, that's not Aaliyah. Is that Aaliyah? Well, we got Sasha Banks, Shotzi, which I know a lot of people are not liking what they're doing with Shotzi. And
right.
What do you think about the team? And I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I mean, again, this is like Crown Jewel with the women's tournament. Shayna Baszler is not the sole survivor out of all of this. Yeah, it is Aaliyah.
I'm not really sure what they're going to do with half of these people because, honestly, out of this entire group, there's maybe only three people I look at with any kind of validity. That's Sasha, Shayna, and Rhea.
Yeah.
That's really it. Bianca Belair, I don't want to take anything away from her, but I think she needs a break. She needs a little bit of a change up. I'm just not feeling the EST. Not saying she's not insanely talented, but I mean, Liv, I get it. Everybody's hot on Liv right now. They love her new makeup. So cool when you change your character by changing your mascara.
Oh, no. She's improved a lot.
Horrible,
I mean,
out there tonight. She missed I don't know how many moves. If Matthew doesn't make an entire minute, entire 5 minutes dedicated to all of her botches tonight, I don't know what you're going to do. Dude, she missed the DDT. She missed throwing her off, Ray off the ropes. She missed slaps. Don't get me wrong, dude. It's just, I understand people like her, but this wrestling is subpar. There are better athletes. There's better talents. There's better matches we've seen. I'm not going to keep giving somebody the pass just because they're cute.
Well,
you know,
I'll say this.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'll say this. I've watched a few Liv Morgan matches, especially leading up to that Money in the Bank match. Liv Morgan has improved significantly. Okay, maybe she didn't put on the best performance tonight, but a lot of wrestlers sometimes have a night off. It also takes two to tango, so it may not necessarily be all her fault tonight. I look at the overall scope. I said a couple of weeks ago that I didn't think Liv Morgan should be women's champion at this point. There's no rush. There's really no rush. Give it a little more time.
I agree with that. I think she does need a little bit more time. And I think you really want to improve Liv Morgan to the level of being competent and believable. Put her in more profile matches where she's forced to carry as opposed to just being an extra wheel.
Well, that's what they did tonight.
She's going to have to. You had four other people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you really want to see her get better, if you really want to see what she can do, put her in some more one-on-one matches that don't rely on fuckery or outside interference or bullshit. Start putting her in matches that show that she's as good as everybody says she is and let the fans draw into that as opposed to becoming another Alexa Bliss clone. Who the fuck wants another Alexa Bliss clone? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that this girl can't wrestle. Please don't misunderstand me. Tonight, she had a lot of botches. You go back and you watch that match objectively, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. The problem is you're also talking about a five-way match, and those can get complex. They can get tricky. There's a lot of reasons for timing to be off in a match like that. If you want Liv to end up being this great new talent, this person that gets elevated to the next level, put her in matches, put her in feuds that represent her being at that level.
And that, for Chris and everybody else, Miss just nailed it. Her going up against Becky Lynch, in my opinion, I think Miss's opinion, a lot of others out there, that's not designed for Liv to finally become champion.
Right.
Her going up against Becky Lynch is going to help Liv go to the next level. You know, I watch people write tonight. I watch people write tonight like, oh, they should have done this with Liv a long time ago. What does that actually mean? Oh, she gets a title shot and then loses and then isn't. So you got to get Liv to the next level. And then this way, when she wins the championship, it doesn't turn into another Nikki Ash. With all due respect, Nikki Ash, right. I have turned the corner on her. I absolutely am a fan. And, you know, I actually have no problem with her title reign with Rhea. But Nikki Ash, when she won that championship, if anybody remembers her title reign, it was filled with clusterfucks. And I think the one time that she had a clean match, she lost. You know, it was just not a good reign. You don't want Liv to be champion just to be champion. And then she loses non-title. Somebody interferes. That, like what Mish said. So right now, I think Becky Lynch's job is to get Liv to the next level. Liv's job is to hang toe-to-toe with Becky Lynch. Trust me.
Liv's job is to get better with the experience of wrestling women like Becky Lynch. Liv's job is to get better wrestling in high-profile matches. Liv's job is to give WWE and the audience a reason to cheer her, a reason for her to have new merchandise, a reason for her to eventually wear the title.
Absolutely.
That's what we need. Yes. But Liv right now, I'm sorry. I disagree with a lot of people. Liv is, there's nothing special about her at the moment. So if you really want her to be special, I don't see it. So you have to prove it to me. Prove it to me. Put her in these situations. Show me what she can do. Give me a reason to go, wow, this girl's all right. This girl's pretty good. Because right now, all I'm seeing is just another mascara girl, another blonde eye job, another clone. That's all I'm saying.
You have a right to that. And I know there's a lot of people who agree with you. I'm not one of them. No, but I agree with you that I don't think Liv should be champion yet. Now, let's also bring up that, you know, man, there was no one else to do this. We get the Acme Insta feud, for those that go back to me that with the 90s. Doudrop, you know, just starts, you know, fucking with Bianca because they needed someone to take Bianca out of this match because everybody looks at her as the favorite. You know, but Bianca, you know, she gets taken out by Doudrop. This kind of like shifts Bianca away for a little while. I don't know how I feel about this. It just felt so random more than anything else. You know,
it didn't make sense.
I would have rather seen Dana do that.
Right. I know that they started it off with Doudrop asking the girls how come she's not a part of the five-way or whatever, and I guess that was supposed to be the breadcrumbs to her turning tonight and flipping on Bianca. I don't know, like this entire time she made fun of Eva Marie because Eva Marie was a heel and Doudrop really wasn't a heel, and then afterwards she protected people, she came out as a baby face, she became the good guy. But then tonight, for whatever reason, she was just so upset at Bianca Belair's reaction that she said, fuck it, you know, I'm not going to be a good guy. I'm going to turn heel and screw Bianca Belair out of winning this attempt at the title.
If I was
very, Dana, very low-class booking on this one.
If I was Dana Brooke, you know, I would have gone to ringside in storyline, I would have threw Doudrop away and then throw Bianca around. Like, Dana, it's my time for the 15th time. It's my time. I've been overshadowed. I paid my dues. It's my time. Well, where were you? Were you talking to soon-to-be hubby? Were you taking a dump with the ice cream man outside fixing your hair? And it's not her fault. I mean, this is WWE writing I'm talking about. You know, WWE cannot have Dana every couple of months. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. And then they don't do nothing because it just makes Dana look ridiculous. She says that tonight, and then WWE doesn't have her, like, do anything. It's not her fault. I want to make this clear. This is not her fault. This is just WWE careless writing. It's like, eh, who gives a shit? That's what it felt like tonight. Who gives a shit?
Oh, yeah.
Constipated Otis. Constipated Otis. Chad Gable tonight getting another, you know, decent match. This time the non-title against Big E. And I laughed when I saw people online saying, what the fuck is Big E taking on Chad Gable for? What the fuck are they doing? The heavyweight champion taking on Chad Gable. And I said to myself, yeah, I guess that's the same thing with, you know, Kenny Omega taking on Allen Angels, right? You know? You know, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Chad Gable is showing how great he is. He's getting some time on Raw. Isn't that what everybody wanted?
Chad Gable.
Oh, what's with that? I just saw the hat on Otis's head.
Helmet. Yes, he's wearing a helmet.
He's wearing a helmet.
He needs a helmet. Yeah, what is it? You know what the funniest thing about Otis is? And maybe you guys will see this too now. But as a heel, he no longer opens his eyes. When he was a babyface Otis with Mandy, oh my God, he had huge eyes everywhere he went. Like his eyes were just bugging out of his head. But as a heel, Otis no longer opens his eyes. That's his gimmick, everybody. His eyes, are they open or are they half shut? But no, Chad Gable, I will give Chad Gable credit. Dude, he's still a fantastic athlete. He had a good match tonight. I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I'm liking that they're giving him opportunity. I mean, he ain't going to win any titles right now. But right, so what? Right. So what? Getting opportunity. Getting on TV. You know, the guy's in incredible shape. Wrestles great. Put him on TV. I had no problem with it. Big E obviously wins, but to me,
yes,
the last 2 weeks it's refreshing to see Chad on TV. And Otis is Otis. You know, I mean, you know, this is what I say. What a lot of people don't understand. You know, I shouldn't say don't understand. They don't think about. You know, when Tony, and this is not, look, you and I disagree on a lot of stuff with Tony Khan, but sure, you know, when Tony Khan says that he truly feels that they have the better show, the best wrestling, this and that. Yeah, I do agree with him with that. But there are some wrestlers that do like to be more actors, entertainers. I'm not saying that Otis is disgruntled right now, like, why ain't I getting a match? No, some people may like, oh, I'm getting paid this kind of money. All I got to do is just look constipated for a few minutes, and that's it. I go to the gym, I get paid. You know, right. Not everybody feels that way, but hey,
that's a good point, though. I think a lot of people don't realize that when you start making comparisons to WWE and AEW and people feel like the talent in AEW is better, if that was the case, then AEW would never want any of the talent from WWE. But WWE, on the other hand, is a lot more entertainment based. And you're right. There's a lot of people that don't want to go to AEW because maybe they like the entertainment aspects of WWE. So I think that's one of the things that is a lot of fans overlook, that it is different in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things that WWE focuses on that AEW neglects or can't do. There's a lot of things that AEW does with their matches and their talent that WWE can't afford to put time into. So,
by the way, shout out to everybody who is tuning in live. For those on the replay, much love. Look, I know Adam Bomb is way past a lot of people's time as far as wrestling fans go. Not everyone out there ever saw him wrestle, you know, maybe only heard of him. But I know that there's quite a few of you that are members of the Bomb Squad. So for all of you out there, if you would like to be part of the drawing next week, we're going to give away four. I thought I had three, but there's actually four. Four signed photos from Adam Bomb. And they will be personalized however you want it. Just nothing derogatory. But if you win and you have whatever you want on it, maybe you know someone else you want to give it to as a gift, you know, he'll personalize it any way you want. You know, just you know, keep it short. You know, to my friend John, or, you know, to my buddy Jake, not to the greatest guy in the world. I miss you. I wish, you know, you're... You know, keep it to the point. Now, all you have to do is, after the show is over, in the comment section, just hashtag, should we put bomb? I mean, you know, YouTube, they're a little funny with some words sometimes. We put hashtag bomb. You know, what should we do? Hashtag what?
I would not do that. Yeah. Hashtag bomb or a bomb might not be the best
about,
thing to go with.
Bombs away. No, that wouldn't work. See, I don't want to say chronic. We can put chronic, but I think some people misspell it. What should we do? Hashtag Adam? You know what?
No.
You know what? Come on. Chronic. It's only 8 letters, everyone. Hashtag Adam Bomb.
There you go.
Easy enough. Hashtag Adam Bomb. Next week, we will pick 4 winners live. And then you win. I will reach out to you. You let me know how you want it personalized. He'll sign it. I'll have him ship them to me. And then I will ship them to you. And as a lot of you know, sometimes I include extra goodies, you know, just to give away. So, yeah, that's very cool. 1-4 wants me. I've been trying to be nicer to Chris Van Vliet. You all will find out why very soon. Soon. That's a little hint. So, all right. On the men's side. And trust me, Dayhawk 666, I've been looking at your generous super chat for a few minutes now. The original men's 5-on-5 elimination match was going to be Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio versus Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods. By the way, Big E will show up on SmackDown Friday, I have a feeling. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn and Happy Corbin. Yes, a lot of us over the weekend were like, fuck is Bobby Lashley? Why is he not in Survivor Series? Well, they did something tonight on Raw. Adam Pearce, for some weird reason, wants Team Raw to win. Why? I mean, he's the official for both brands.
Right.
The only way I could justify this is I have a feeling he may go on SmackDown and say the same thing. I want Team SmackDown to win. That's what I think he has to do. He's got to be weird like that. But he calls out Dominic, and he says, hey, Dominic, everybody on Team Raw is a champion, former champion, except you. Well, he was a tag team champion, but that's not good enough. You need a heavyweight champion. So he said, Dominic, you could still be in the match as long as you beat this guy. Bobby Lashley comes out. Bobby Lashley beats the balls out of Dominic. And as Dayhawk... Sure good. No, what were you going to say?
No, he sure does. He beat the hell out of him. He, first off, got to say, it was nice to see MVP.
Yes. Coming
down to the ring with him. It was a nice little return. I was very happy to see it. You know, I think a lot of us were hoping that MVP might have been there a little bit sooner with the whole Goldberg stuff. But I digress. It's nice to see MVP now. And yeah, for the majority of the match, it was more about Bobby Lashley putting Dominic through the paces and kind of like stretching Dominic and kind of beating on Dominic. Kind of like what man are you made of? What kind of man are you? And obviously he lost. And that's the way it should have been. And I was happy that they didn't give Dominic some crazy comeuppance to try and beat Bobby Lashley. And God forbid if Dominic actually beat Bobby Lashley. So I'm happy the way the match went. I'm happy the way that it was laid out.
You know, the only reason why I say I'm glad they didn't do this is because then this person may have had to return. But if Crown Jewel would have been after Survivor Series or it would have been Survivor Series, man, I would have loved it tonight if Bobby Lashley kept calling Dominic Gage and just treated him like, you know, like this you know, like,
right, like he's having flashbacks.
He's having flashbacks. He thinks he's beating up Gage. I would have loved it. But I'm with Dayhawk. Nothing against Dominic Mysterio. But in that case tonight, I think we all rooted for Bobby Lashley to win. And he did win. So now the team, this looks a lot better. I wonder if Happy Corbin gets booted on. You know what? I just figured out. Wait a minute. Sami Zayn is not a heavyweight champion either.
No.
Jeff Hardy was. King Woods hasn't. No. Drew McIntyre was. So they can't use the heavyweight champion thing. But then again, Corbin hasn't had any gold, right? On the main roster.
Did he have a tag team for a minute?
I don't recall. Then again, it's Corbin, so I block him out of my mind. You know, it's like one of those like really bad relationships that you just try to like black out that you don't remember. Chat room. Yeah. Has Corbin had, he hasn't had any.
United States.
He had the United States. Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Right. I blocked it out of my head. We were just trying to figure out a reason to kick Corbin out of this group. But, yeah, that's your 5-on-5 now. Now, Raw looks a little bit more dominating, even though nothing against Ray Ray, but I think I would have liked to have seen someone else. You know what I hope happens? Nothing against Ray, but I hope Ray gets eliminated and gets squashed in that match, and then Austin Theory comes out and takes a selfie like he did tonight.
I would like to see Austin Theory as a part of this, but...
Oh, man, he's fucking great, man.
He is.
I've been singing the praise of Austin Theory since NXT. He's got something. I'm telling you. You know, some people are saying like it looks like a young Randy Orton. And then I click on the people's profiles and they're like teenagers. I'm like, you have no idea what Randy Orton early on was. This was not Randy Orton. Right. This is a little unique.
You know who he looks like? He looks like Sammy Guevara's illegitimate brother.
He does. He definitely does, man. Looks
like Sammy Guevara's illegitimate brother.
You want to know something? You want to know something? If Sammy Guevara would have ended up in WWE instead of AEW, I wonder if Sammy Guevara would have had a very similar character to what Austin Theory has right now.
I could see it. I could see them being a tag team together. I really could. Couldn't you? Sammy and fucking Austin. I could see it.
Sammy and Austin. Speaking of first names, they officially dropped the last names for Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Los Lotharios. Angel and Humberto.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's fine. Nice little change. You know what? People were tired of saying, I guess, the longer name. So keep it simple for a lot of the fans that are just trying to follow at home. It's fine.
Tony Gloss watching in Spanktervision. That just sounds dirty, man. That just sounds dirty. Much love, my friend. Thank you very much, my friend. And thank you for hanging out with us tonight, everybody. Thank you for hanging out. So Bobby Lashley squashes Dominic Mysterio like a grape. So Bobby Lashley is now on the team. This leaves us with two matches tonight on Raw. First one... AJ Styles, Omos, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode, they defeat RK-Bro and the Street Profits. Basically, the deal with this one is, you know, and you and I have, and a lot of you out there have said it too. You know, there's like, it's like Nia Jax with Dana Brooke, not Dana Brooke, Nia Jax and Lana. Like every week, Nia Jax would get the best of Lana. It feels the same way with Riddle and Omos. And Randy Orton's telling him, stay the fuck away from Omos. And Riddle, and look, Ryan Satin pointed it out. I know you're not a fan of Ryan Satin, but he brought up a point. You look back, and Riddle, he didn't even use Sin Cara's, like, springboard. He leaped up and was able to knee Omos in the face, and Omos didn't even have to bend down like this. That was pretty impressive. Right.
Oh, no, Riddle's talented. I don't think there's ever been a point that I've said that Riddle wasn't a talented wrestler. I think, matter of fact, that those four guys have a constant show going on, and I mean that in a positive way. AJ and Omos are a fantastic villain tag team, and RK-Bro is on the top of their game, and people are enjoying them. So, yeah, no, I would never disagree with that point. I mean, those four guys have what it takes to keep – you know, the fans entertained. I just hope that they can keep it going for a little while longer. But I have noticed, even tonight, Omos is starting to catch up. Omos is not looking as cartoony when he sells moves and kicks and punches. He's not looking so goofy when he does it. he's starting to look like somebody his size getting punched or getting kicked. Like, he'll take it, but he doesn't, like, like, he doesn't do that shit no more. Now he just kind of does the, like, he fucking takes it. So it's kind of like they're growing up. And Riddle, like you said, jumping up as high as he did and kicking him square in the top of his chest. These two guys, Riddle and Omos, are literally growing before our eyes and becoming much, much better athletes underneath, let's be honest, the tutelage of AJ Styles and the tutelage of Randy Orton. And obviously the tutelage of each other, since they're constantly wrestling each other. I think that you're really watching two guys, whether you're a big fans of the teams or not, but you're watching two guys kind of inadvertently being groomed for the future. When either one of these guys goes singles, when Matt Riddle goes singles, he's going to be ready. When Omos goes singles, he'll be ready. I think you're watching something very special with these guys. So the fact that, once again, they had the best match of the night, it doesn't surprise me. They're damn blue chip talents, both of them.
I think ultimately Riddle's got to get a significant win on Omos. He's sure. Got to get, you know, he's got to be the one to pin Omos. He's got to be the one. I think the crowd would erupt. And my God, the crowd is. Is it safe to say right now that Randy Orton might be the most over wrestler on Raw?
You know how you could do that, DT? And I know we're going to play fantasy for a second, but you know how you can do that? You have to have a match with these four guys where AJ Styles and Randy Orton both end up injured and neither of them can compete. And then you have a singles match between Omos and Riddle finally wins it on his own.
Yeah.
I just a big hope, moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope Randy doesn't turn on Riddle for a WrestleMania match.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, in the beginning, we saw that a lot, but I think that their relationship has kind of grown a little bit further, that if they were going to do that, I don't know if that would help Randy Orton and hurt Riddle, or if it would just hurt both of them. And what but do you, I don't see that as being a positive thing.
And what do you think if we get next week the Dirty Dogs versus AJ Styles and Omos? Because they kind of like teased it tonight with the little interaction with each other, and Omos basically, you know, squashing Robert Roode, you know, outside the ring. I mean, Dolph got the pin and then got an RKO for his troubles, but they teased. I have a feeling we may see that match next week.
It might be there, but I'm not really seeing much from the Dirty Dogs. I mean, Dolph Ziggler's time is, you know, his best purpose right now is to help the younger talent. And Robert Roode, as much as I loved Robert Roode, I don't know what's happened over the last year or so, but it seems like he's kind of the weakest point of these matches. I mean, even tonight, he's just, he's predicting all of the moves. He's getting ready to get thrown out of the ring. It doesn't help when Robert Roode throws himself out of the ring before anybody can hit him. You know, I don't know. I don't think he's at the top of his game right now. Dolph Ziggler is still a solid athlete. Dolph Ziggler is constantly the guy, whether you like him or not, he's constantly a reliable wrestler who lets and makes people look good. Yeah. So I have nothing wrong. And I like Robert Roode. I don't know what's up with him.
Savan, I'm with you. I mean, some of the matches tonight have nothing to do with Survivor Series, but
right.
Because Survivor Series is so solid as far as the match listings, and we've been talking about the card for about 3 weeks. I mean, sure, they didn't make Becky versus Charlotte official until tonight, but it was right. 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were talking about WWE wants to have that Bret Shawn vibe when it comes to Becky Charlotte.
Yeah,
they got to wait till a week before and then start planting the seed. So you got to fill time. That's why we'll go to the final match tonight. All throughout the night, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't like it. And you saw it a mile away. But for some reason, like, Big E can't trust Kevin Owens, which I think is a very flawed storyline in the first place. It's just dopey, especially after just having the match with Drew McIntyre, Crown Jewel. It's like, And then Kevin Owens soul searching, going to everybody from R-Truth and everyone else. You believe me, dog. You believe me. You believe me. It was just.
I believe in Bigfoot. Yeah. I believe in aliens. I believe in the McRib sandwich. It's like,
it was painful. It was painful. And then this was all designed for Seth Rollins to get into Big E's head. You know, you can't trust him. You know, last week we did it all together. Now, of course, Big E was going to cost Kevin Owens the match, and Kevin Owens was just going to snap and beat up Big E. Now, I don't know if this is going to be a permanent heel turn. You know, Kevin Owens is frustrated. But at the same time, all this did was basically, you know, buy time for Big E, because outside of his match with Roman Reigns, there's no feud right now. Yes, he's going to have a match with Seth Rollins soon. Yes, he's going to have a match against Kevin Owens soon. Yes, he'll probably have a match three-way, because Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens don't get along, and neither they don't get along with Big E, so we'll probably have a three-way. So that seems to be the feud that they're trying to establish going into December. That's what it feels like. We're going to get Big E, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and a combination thereof. But it just felt awfully flawed tonight. Like Kevin Owens suddenly soul searching and trying, you believe me, you believe me, you believe me. And Big E, it's WWE. It feels like WWE is getting away from Big E, how he acted, how beloved. Like now all of a sudden, and it's not because he's the champion, but Big E, it was goofy with Drew McIntyre. You know, can we coexist? And then they shake hands. Remember when Drew was going to leave? And remember you said, well, you know, Drew McIntyre turned his back on Big E. But even that confrontation, Big E, it just felt forced and just too scripted. And tonight felt the same way again. I don't know if this is helping Big E.
Okay, so there's a few problems with this whole Kevin Owens, Seth, and Big E relationship that's going on here. When you compare it to Drew, Drew has enough of an upstanding citizenship, and the fact that he's humorous plays in with Big E. We've seen Drew do stuff with New Day before that was kind of funny. It wasn't completely obscene to imagine that Drew and Big E were friends. Kevin Owens being Big E's buddy makes no sense to me. And at the level that Kevin Owens is trying to vie for Big E's respect and understanding makes no sense to me. It's not a relationship that's ever been explored. We've seen them together a couple times over the years, but there's no substance to it. There's nothing to grab onto where you would say, oh, well, that's why Kevin Owens and Big E are best friends. It doesn't exist. So you have a guy pretending to be Big E's best friend. Big E is the champion, who is normally a jovial, happy, fun, you know, happy-go-lucky guy. And now he has the pressures of being the champion. And so he sees this guy who's trying to be his best friend, and he's like, bullshit. You're not my friend. Go fuck yourself. You're full of shit. And then Seth, who just came out of an angle, a feud, working with Edge and terrorizing Beth and the kids and everybody at the house, right, is coming out here telling everybody how honest he is. Like, hey, look, everybody, I'm a scumbag, but Kevin Owens is a real scumbag. It's like this storyline makes no fucking sense.
It's all
like right now, Seth Rollins should be one of the most hated people in the company, because he's going after somebody's wife and kids. And now that he's on Raw, it's like, oh, and you know, I did shit, but Jesus, Kevin Owens, he hit you when you weren't looking. What an asshole. I'm like, it's just, the storyline is bad. It's just bad.
It just feels too forced. And I don't know if this is going to help Big E at all. I don't know if it's going to help. I hope it does.
Don't get past it, dude.
I'm sure they will. Going to give a shout out to SRH John. It's not going to happen, but imagine Randy and AJ both turn on their partners. Riddles gains a giant as a friend and an ally. You know what, man? SRH John, Bish, just think about the dynamic if they had Riddle and Omos as a tag team maybe a year or two from now. I mean I'm not saying it would be Booker T gold dust. Wouldn't be like that, but man, you think about that, and that is some fucking comedy, man.
Sure.
You think about that. That's not bad, man. John, it's probably not going to happen, but that would be freaking funny. Seriously.
It would be funny. You know how that would work, though, DT? Is if you found somebody to be worse than both AJ and Omos and worse than RK-Bro. You would have to find somebody that's a heel to both of those groups to the point where you could see them, Omos and Riddle, teaming up for one night in order to face whoever the hell else could be in there. But the problem is, there's nobody really on the docket to take these two guys off the pedestal yet, you know?
So. Maybe Omos shows a little sympathy for Riddle down the line. And maybe AJ Styles gets pissed off, like, what are you doing? Maybe they do something like that. Omos has a little bit of, compassion. Not a bad idea, man. I'm telling you, that's not a bad idea. How you get to that point, I don't know, but that's not a bad idea. You know it's not a bad idea also, everyone? Smash that like button if you haven't done so already. Seriously, I'm not saying this again. Right now we're at 178 likes. I'd love to see it hit the two bills right now. Let's see if we get the 200 likes, and we thank you. Now, just very quickly, Full Gear. I'm not sure if we're going to do predictions Wednesday, on Wednesday Night Dynamite, or I wait till Friday. Also, in the community section here, I have a poll up right now that I'd love for you to all vote on. How do I handle this Saturday's Don Tony show? Saturday, 8 o'clock is when I usually do it. Full Gear is on. I am going to do a recap of Full Gear. So what do we do about the Don Tony show? The options are we do it Friday, we do it Sunday, we don't do it at all for this week. So
if you do it Sunday, you can also review the tribute to the troops.
Yes, that's a possibility too. So look, I was thinking about not even doing a Full Gear review on Saturday because everybody and their mother is going to do a Full Gear review Saturday night. I was thinking about waiting until Sunday to do it. So I might do a second poll to see if everyone out there wants me to do the Full Gear review on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, or maybe wait till Sunday. So, I mean, I'll probably end up doing it Saturday, but we'll see. I'll put the poll up. You all vote. Majority wins, and we'll go from there. XPW Rebirth. Okay. I saw it yesterday. The focus of this pay-per-view was to crown a new XPW heavyweight champion. The last champion was Shane Douglas. The company's been out of business for 18 years. You know, I mean, obviously everybody knows my history with XPW. I will give you the results, which will take 15 seconds, and I will give you my honest take on what I saw yesterday. Promise you this segment on XPW will be about 2 minutes long. And I'm sorry that I have to say it like that, but honestly, let me just tell you what went down. Round one of the tournament, Willie Mack over Matt Cross. TJP over Bill Collier. Masato over Rhino. Brian Cage over Casey Navarro. The semifinal was Willie Mack over Masato and Brian Cage over TJP. We had Silas Young over Colin Delaney and Nick Ando. You know, a lot of expletives. It felt like just filler match. A chairs match, Medman, Fulton, and Schlack went to a no contest because the New York State Athletic Commission stopped the match because Schlack was bleeding. It was not good. And then I think Schlack threw a chair in the ring and actually hit the old referee that used to be an XPW, Rivera, in the head. Jesus. It was not good. I mean, I had flashbacks of Frank Talent in Philly when I did timekeeping for their first event, and then Supreme and Angel brawled into the women's bathroom and people accused them of brawling in the bathroom while the State Athletic Commission's daughter was in one of the stalls, which was a lie. Terry Funk pulling off Lizzie Borden's panties and pile drives her, and I'm sitting right at the timekeeper's table and I see, you know, private parts. I mean, I have flashbacks of what the State Athletic Commission was trying to do to XPW in 2002. So then in the finals, we had Brian Cage beat Willie Mack. Originally, Willie Mack won the match. Rob Black is a had to come in as a referee. And originally, the pin was for Willie Mack. And then Rob Black gets into an argument with another referee, ends up punching him. Brian Cage hits Willie Mack with the belt. Rob Black with the fast recount, Brian Cage is your champion. Now, I will say this. Brian Cage worked his motherfucking ass off on this show, earned his pay, and I have been singing the praise for Brian Cage for a very long time. You all know that.
Yeah.
My viewers.
Yeah, now he's a
yeah. He's treated like shit in AEW, and I'm sorry for saying that, but it's true. But I will say, there might have been 40 people in attendance. There was one row of seats. It might be less than 40. Rob Black paid his debt to society. I have nothing but good things to say about XPW, my experience there. Go about 2 weeks ago. If you do a search on my channel, just type in XPW. You'll see from about 2 weeks ago, I told a whole bunch of personal stories about XPW when I was there. And they're all positive. I will say this, two things. Number one, a lot of websites refused to even put up the results. I understand they hated XPW, and I understand they don't like Rob Black, but there's a lot of wrestlers trying to get work right now. And you may not like Rob Black, but he's not involved with porn anymore, and he's not doing anything illegal, and there are people out there that are cancel culturing wrestlers from not appearing on his shows. Trust me, I don't want to name any names, but it is true. It's public knowledge. So for the wrestlers out there trying to get work, you know, you got to let these guys work where they want. It reminds me of Boogaloo and Lowrider when Ring of Honor did what they did that time when they were going to work XPW. We're not going to get into that tonight. But it reminds me of the same thing. The second thing is, Rob Black is very blunt, very brash, very vulgar. Very entertaining, too. But the thing is that if he really wants XPW to return and to get decent crowds and to get decent publicity, he can't just turn around and just do his podcast and be brash and be nasty about it and not reach out to others, you know, to promote. And he can't have a Twitter account that says XP Wrestling and then have people think that he has nothing to do with that Twitter account. He's got to reach out to, and I'm not saying me. I mean, look, everybody knows the ECW Arena shows. Almost half the fans on all those shows were from my bus trips. I had 4 and 5 buses every time going to those shows from New York. But the thing is, if this guy just thinks because of the XPW name and because of Dark Side of the Ring and because of hardcore wrestling and the craving for it with some feds out there, if he thinks that's enough, that's going to get people to tune into these shows, it's going to be a disaster. And honestly, you don't want XPW's legacy to be tarnished with a rebirth that draws 40 or even less. And then you do another show and it draws 30. And then you do another show. Yeah. My biggest satisfaction was watching that guy Slash who ripped me off. You all know that story. And he did 2 shows at Club Amazora. And he total might have had maybe 120 people across 2 shows. He lost $15,000-$20,000. It was the ultimate, you know, revenge on that guy because nobody would trust him. So honestly, the pay-per-view was not good yesterday. The wrestlers worked hard, but it didn't feel like XPW. And Lord knows whether the State Athletic Commission truly stopped the match or it was a storyline, which I don't think it was a storyline. Why you choose your first show in Rochester, New York, just blows my mind. I mean, they probably had no choice. They did it on a Sunday night because it was cheaper. But I want to see XPW succeed. I would love to see it get some, you know, and the lack of tribute to some of the stars. Supreme just died not too long ago. It just felt like, you know, I don't know. It just, it didn't feel like XPW yesterday. So that's my honest take on it. ABW Rampage dropped down to $5.99, Mish. Your thoughts? I mean, I thought Rampage was a decent show Friday, and my God, CM Punk. And if I was AEW, repeat CM Punk and Eddie Kingston this Wednesday. You don't, the live fans don't need them to be in the ring. Yes, you could do it, but I would replay what they did on Friday because you can't top it. You can't top it. And Eddie Kingston and CM Punk should not have had the peak of them selling their match for Full Gear on Friday night on Rampage that draws $5.99.
Right.
So, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's, I mean, it just goes to show you that I think a lot of the hyperbole that surrounds AEW, whether it comes from the mouth of Tony Khan or it comes from the people that root for everything that Tony Khan and AEW say, is just that. It's just a lot of nonsense. It's a lot of baloney. And I think that they need to really focus on what makes their company special and what makes them money and what makes them views, as opposed to just telling everybody that they're just amazing. Stop telling people you're amazing and just go be that. Go do all these great things that you pride yourselves on. Go give us these great matches, you know, instead of these wacky Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omegas. And it's, I think that there's a real problem with the structure of what fans really want to see. I think there's a lot of lip service paid by social media to AEW that's ultimately going to hurt them. I think the more compliments they receive, they start to phase out the criticisms. I mean, it's been proven, you know, with YouTube and other mediums that AEW has publicly admonished people. They've publicly shut down channels. They've shut down people's opinions because they don't want to hear any criticisms. Well, this is what happens when you don't acknowledge the people that have weighted criticisms against your company and against the structure. I'm not saying that AEW should immediately listen to everyone and just abide by everyone else that doesn't like their show's rules or anything like that. But when you openly go forth and you take weighted and informing criticisms of the company and of Rampage and of Dynamite and of Dark and everything else that AEW does, and you listen to them, you can start to weigh out what the problems are when you start seeing point A coming from all these different shows and all these different people and all these different entertainers and vloggers and everybody else and YouTubers. Yeah. This is what happens when all you do is just listen to the good. And, you know, frankly, this is a bad stuff.
SmackDown did a drop over 2 million viewers. Obviously, last week was FS1, so we can't compare the two. You know, people saying that, oh, well, Roman Reigns wasn't on. Well, you know, fans tuning in live had no idea that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be on the main show. So you can't, right. You know, I'm talking about the week before. Roman Reigns, you know, was on Friday. So there's really no excuse, you know, this time around. Look, the bottom line is, you know, the ratings are pretty much falling in to what, you know, we said all along, 550 to 750. You know, now I see a lot of places bringing up YouTube views. You know, like, instead of just leaving the numbers out there and taking it as it is and hope for better numbers, you know, now it's, okay, well, the number on TV was not good, but California has it on at 5 o'clock. I'm talking about Dynamite. Oh, well, Rampage's number wasn't good, but the CM Punk Eddie Kingston got 1 million views on YouTube. There's always a but. If people eliminated the word but, I think things would be handled a lot better. Ricky Vasquez, what's up, my friend? What's up, Ricky? Before we go, two other things. Speaking of Tony Khan, he was on Observer recently, and I found this quote very interesting, and I'm surprised at how little coverage it got. has to do with Cody Rhodes and the fan reaction. And it's interesting to hear Tony Khan comparing Cody Rhodes' fan reaction and treatment right now to John Cena. Tony Khan says, and I quote, it's been a long time since it was the opposite of the intended reaction. He knows what the reaction is for a long time, and he thinks it's very polarizing. It's not all one side. He thinks it's a mix of the crowd, and it's very similar to John Cena in terms of how you hear a split. Guys and gals that have been with me for 15 years have always heard me talk about the kids and the girl, the kids and the women going, let's go Cena. And then the men, Cena sucks. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. So, and remember what I said last week, everybody, that AEW is TV-14. WWE is TV-PG. WWE is programming better suited for children. AEW is suited for young adults. There are a lot of parents out there that do not let their children tune into AEW because of that. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. And that's why, which triggered a lot of people, I said AEW's got to, you know, maybe open up their broadcast to appeal for even younger viewers, which I know not everybody likes that, but they may have to if they want to get bigger numbers. But anyway, finish up what Tony Khan said. Quote, I think it's a mix of the crowd, and it's very similar to John Cena in terms of how you hear the split. It's a ton of women and kids that are huge fans of Cody, and some of the guys booing. But people are still really buying Cody. And in the right moments, they do cheer him. And when we saw that when he saved Pac from Malakai and Andrade, there was a huge Cody chant, and in that context, people are really excited to see him. And the truth is, I really do think that people really like Cody. When John Cena was a full-time wrestler, he's one of the all-time greatest wrestling stars that people really like to see him too. And he says, of course, that reaction in time, because more generally positive, but still obviously people only have grown to care more and more about John Cena. So I do think people are very emotionally invested in Cody, one way or the other, which is a very good thing. My honest take on it is Cody's not a full-time wrestler. And the fans started booing Cody when he started to go off TV. And then whenever he showed up, he always seemed to prevail. You know, it always has to be dramatic. He's got the biggest entrance. His wife, you know, let's go, Brandy. You know, his wife is the first female you see at the beginning of the Dynamite intro. Nothing against Brandy. But fans take note of that. You know, the guy works his ass off. But as far as TV goes, he is nothing like John Cena.
Nothing. You don't think people took exception to it when Cody Rhodes took off his boots in the ring? That wasn't the time.
That was cool.
But what about? Yeah, was it?
I mean, he wasn't
supposed to wrestle anymore, but then he wrestled again.
Look,
or when he beats guys like Mordecai Black, who are supposed to be these big guys, and he beats them clean on a regular weekly show. Yeah. Or what about the time that, you know, the fact that John Cena has done what, like 300,000 Make-A-Wishes for kids? When did Cody do that? I don't remember Cody doing 300,000 Make-A-Wishes. So what is it about Cody Rhodes that reminds people of John Cena? John Cena drew houses and buildings and worked with The Rock and worked with some of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling. When did Cody work with The Undertaker? I don't remember those days. I don't remember when Cody worked with The Rock or Cody worked with Mick Foley or...
You know what I would love? Hey, Tony, why don't you ask the fans why they don't like Cody?
Oh, I said Malakai. I said Mordecai instead of
Malakai. Yeah, no, we had a good laugh at that. No, Jesus. But you know, it would be great if it was done on a podcast, but I know a lot of people out there wouldn't. You know, you got to be respectful about it, but look, in my honest opinion, you know, Cody is very valuable for that company, no question. And Cody's not a bad guy.
Sure.
And look, when Cody talks about that, you know, about black and white and one, you know, America and the world and this and that, I mean, How do you boo that? I wouldn't boo that. You know, it's like, you know, when he does these really powerful emotional speeches, you know, it gets to you. It's obvious, but the comparison of John Cena is ridiculous, in my honest
opinion. But remember, if he does a favor for you, well, and I quote, if he does a favor for you, he owns you. And end quote. Yeah. So,
I mean,
I don't know, dude. I have no love lost for that guy. I don't think, look, I understand how important he is for a lot of these fans as far as the structure of the company goes, but there are much bigger tools. There are much bigger talents. There are much bigger stars in AEW where Cody should be taking a back seat. There's no reason to have Cody forefront every damn show because he's basically the 2021 version of Jeff Jarrett. It's all about him. And it's kind of gross because they almost look alike too. And Jeff Jarrett, for as many pitfalls as he's had, at least he's still not on screen anymore. But Cody Rhodes is following more in Jeff Jarrett's footsteps, I think, than even Dusty Rhodes. So,
I don't dislike Cody. I just feel the comparison to John Cena. You know what I found interesting,
it's not
too?
Real.
You know,
it's just,
but you know what I found? Baloney. But you know what I found interesting too? And look, I understand the guy is a successful millionaire. But little things like this is a psychological thing than anything else. If you go back to the sentence that Cody talks about women and kids and guys, if you read that sentence again, listen to this closely. This is his exact words. And no one else out there is going to bring this up, but I am. Tony Khan's exact words is this. I think there's a mix of the crowd, and it's very similar to John Cena in terms on how you hear a split. And there is a ton of women. He used the word ton. There is a ton of women and kids that are huge fans, and some of the guys booing. When it came to women's and kids, he had to use the word tons because it's a positive. Positive? Tons. Booing? Negative? A few. Everyone out there, not trying to be a jerk, go look at the transcript. That shows you that he obviously is very defensive about it. And I don't understand why you'd be defensive about that. Go look at the quote. All right, last thing for tonight, and then we're going to call it because we're drop over 90 minutes. Rest in peace, Judy Bagwell, 78 years old. I know a lot of you out there may not have been around watching wrestling in WCW at the time Judy Bagwell was there. Some of you may remember, you know, when Buff Bagwell first went to the WWF and there was issues with his mom, like telling WWF, you know the stories. Yeah. What I said today, I truly mean. I'm not saying that the Judy Bagwell segments on WCW TV were great. It was almost comical to see her on a forklift and everything like that. But I will say this. For me, being a selfish person who was very close to my mom, even if it was not a good idea, if I had the opportunity to have my mom come to my job and work a little bit and have fun and to see her smiling and she's having a great time as a selfish person, how could I complain at that? Right. My mom is my world. So if I'm in Buff Bagwell's situation and my mom is there and I'm like this with her and she's having a great time and WCW's put her in a storyline, not saying it was good, but as a selfish person who is sort of a mama's boy, which I am, I can't disrespect Judy Bagwell. Rest in peace, 78 years old. Interesting memories as far as on TV. It's pretty wild when you think about it at that time, but I can't knock it. I can't knock him and the relationship with his mom. Anything you want to add to that?
No, she's known. I think for the most part, I think fans got the joke. And while people weren't impressed by Judy Bagwell on a forklift and stuff like that. She is a part of wrestling history. She is a part of the corniness, the silly side of wrestling history. And I don't know. I think for the most part, when you look at it from overall, I think you're right. People understand that's his mom. He got his mom involved in wrestling. They had some silly shtick gimmicks to go with it, you know, and I'm sure he's very torn up right now for losing her. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what it is. So.
You know, 78 years old, you know.
Right.
Very fulfilled life. My condolences to her family, to Buff Bagwell and his family. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that said, we are pretty much done with tonight. Again, predictions for Full Gear. Not sure if it's going to be Wednesday. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Because we got Rampage on Friday, and obviously something could change. Something could get added to it. We'll definitely play it by ear. Before we go, Chris Silva with the run-in. And he's got a question for us, if you don't mind, Mish. Wants to know, what do we think of the Mordecai character?
First off, it was just a slip of the tongue. Mordecai, Malachi, my apologies. Mordecai, though, I liked the idea of it, but WWE, if people thought Muhammad Hassan was probably one of the most evil, villainous characters that WWE ever did, I think Mordecai had the ability to blow that gimmick out of the water. I mean, when you think about the Catholics, when you think about the Inquisition and the Crusades, and you think about what this character type was supposed to be, it was someone ordered to kill people that do not fall in line with the eyes of God. And I thought that entire character could have been something really good. The problem was, is who they applied it to. Kevin Thorne was not the guy to carry the mantle of such a complex and deep, deep rooted character that could have absolutely been fantastic back in the day. The idea of also making Christianity the villain is something that Vince has been very high on over the years, multiple times, whether it was him making fun of God or him misrepresenting God with Shawn Michaels and everything else like that. There's never been a point where he has not poked his nose into making fun of religious folly. So the idea of a character that's literally dedicated to being a villain and the example of Christianity was very curious to myself back in the day. But yeah, Kevin Thorne was, he had a good look. I think Kevin Thorne looked like a great Inquisition type character. I just think that that's as far as it went. So
shout out to Gabriella. Have a good night. Much love. You know, it's funny, you know, it puts it in perspective that...
Let me throw this out real quick, too. Yeah. Real quick before you go on. I'm sorry. Ray Jr. throws out, he says, people making fun of Christianity is insanely played out. This gimmick was, what, 14 years ago? Mordecai came 16. Out, what, 14 years ago? 16 years ago, it wasn't played out yet. So...
My honest... The funny thing is, you know... Since I go back to 97 doing this, I've been doing it longer than some WWE wrestlers are alive or AEW wrestlers are alive. But I actually do have old podcasts of me covering Mordecai's debut. I couldn't take it seriously. Mordecai, Kevin Thorne was so young at the time. It looked like somebody who accidentally dyed his eyebrows white. He had too much of a baby face, and I don't mean baby face as in good guy. I mean as too young. His face looked way too young. And then he had some type of, you know, item that he walked to the ring with, and it looked like a piece of metal that you would buy in Home Depot to, like, frame a house. I could not get into it. Now, when he... was on ECW, and he had what was her name? Is the valet? What was her name? You know, his valet. Oh my God!
I don't remember.
I'm drawing a blank. Chat room, bail me out on this one. when he repackaged himself.
Shelly Martinez.
Shelly Martinez, yes. Ariel. That, I thought, was a lot better, even though the fangs and, you know, I'll never forget, I think it was the first ECW episode when they showed outside the arena and it was like a full moon and you see Kevin Thorne, like, oh, it just, it was bad, but I tolerated that a hell of a lot more than Mordecai. I could never get behind the Mordecai thing. I just thought it looked silly. It's not silly to make fun of Christianity, but it just, the whole thing to me was silly. I couldn't get behind it. So,
okay.
But good memories, good show. Mish, yes. You have a good night. I'll definitely talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
NXT.
I will see you guys all tomorrow. Much love. Thank you, well, you very my much, friend. Guys.
Shout out to DX Girl. Much love. Thank you as always for the support, my friend. And I hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. You know, we went about 10 minutes over, and, you know, that's going to get adjusted in time. You know, the goal is to be right around, oh, this guy's creeping me out again. Got to, Mish, we having so much fun with those camera things, but, yeah, I'm going to play around with it a little bit further. But, you know, as time goes by now, as far as the announcement with what's going to happen next with these shows, the announcement is going to be either late this week or next week. I have a big meeting on Wednesday, and that's pretty much more the behind-the-scenes stuff. But there are a bunch of new intros being developed right now. I think some artwork is being developed as well. And I don't want to jump the gun and announce, you know, exactly where it's going to be. But as far as your viewing or listening experience, I don't think you'll have to change anything. Because really, it's just the source of where the shows are coming from. But whether you tune in from iTunes or YouTube or, you know, iHeart, Spotify, Podbean, I think all that should remain the same. I think just the source. But obviously, the network is a big deal, and they got some pretty awesome shows there, too. And trust me, when I announce where the shows are going to be, you know, the home base is going to be and hosting it, there's going to be some wild laughs involved. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because I will tell you, when you see the banner for this show in the middle, when you see who is to my left and who is to my right, I guarantee you some of you are literally going to urinate in your pants. Because trust me, it'll get put all together. I kind of gave a little hint earlier in tonight's show, but it's all good. I want to thank you all for hanging out with us tonight. If you are part of our Patreon family, tomorrow night we will be live at 10:05 p.m. Eastern right after NXT. I think tomorrow we're starting the tournament of like favorite soft drinks and stuff. We were originally going to do like a poll. Everybody like pick like a soft drink or something. But, you know, when I started doing research, there's really, you know, not as many soft drinks as you think. So there's really no need to have someone say, oh, I like Coke, I like Pepsi, I like this. It's just fun tournament. And we do two different tournaments every month, and it goes from movies to wrestlers to promos to intros, you know, theme music, Jim Johnston. It's all different stuff. We just had Halloween, so we did like a horror film tournament. And who won that tournament? I think Halloween won that tournament, right? Yeah, I think it beat Friday the 13th. And usually what happens with the finals. So, but much love, everyone. Much love. And, oh, no, Benjamin, the little hint I gave earlier will not get me in trouble. Trust me. They know that I'm throwing teases and everything, but this is all awesome. It's really awesome. And I wasn't kidding before. When I announce it, you'll understand why this photo actually has more meaning than you could imagine. But everyone have a great night. If you want to be part of the Atom Bomb signed photo giveaway, post something in the comment section, and just after your comment or somewhere in it, just put hashtag Atom Bomb, all one word. And we'll pick four winners next week. And again, even if you're not a fan or maybe it's a little bit before your time, if you know someone else that is, then you can win the photo and I'll be more than happy to give it to someone else. So we got four of them giving away next week. So, all right. It is time for me to go, believe it or not. I actually got my sleep medicine here. Because the big mistake that I've been doing is I end the show, I edit, I do codecs, I upload to all the sources, and then once I'm done with that, I go into the other room, I pop my sleep medicine, and I don't fall asleep till 3, 4 in the morning. So now when I hit goodbye, I'm going to take it now, this way in about 20 minutes, I hopefully could pass out. So do not worry, timestamps will be online tonight, so I will not slack on that. And that's it. I am out of here, everyone. Have a great night. Much love as always. And I'll catch you all again either tomorrow on Patreon or Wednesday, 10.05 p.m. after Dynamite. It's going to be a good Dynamite. Full gear. Solid top to bottom. I'm really excited to not only cover Full Gear, predict Full Gear, but also watch it. So that's going to be a pay-per-view. Might be a pay-per-view of the year. And I'm not exaggerating. So, all right, everybody. Good night. Be well. And I'll talk to you all again tomorrow, Wednesday. So, ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.